Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm Alex Gunn, a son of a gun.
I'm Justin Gunn, a second son of a same gun.
I'm Pete.
And Pete is a son of a gun, but he's ashamed of our celebrity father that we can't talk about after what happened that I legally, because of NDAs, can't get into. But
yeah.
Let's get into it and talk about The Penguin, Episode 3, Bliss, the latest episode. It aired on HBO and is streaming on Max. If you haven't checked it out, check it out because we're going to spoil it. But Sophia and Oz are now working together, though not quite in the positions exactly that they thought. Specifically, Oz thought it was a partnership. Sophia thinks he's her driver and working for her, and he's not exactly ba-da-ba-ba-ba loving it. Meanwhile, they are developing a new party drug called Bliss, which they sell to the Triads through various machinations. But by the end of the episode, the Baronies catch up to them and try to kill them. However, this dovetails with Victor's story. We finally get, after three episodes, we get Victor's.
Wow.
Victor, Alex. Oh, God, it's been a torturous 2 weeks.
You.
3 weeks. As we find out what happened to Victor and his parents and his family during the flood, we meet Graciela, who's his girlfriend, and they make a plan to head out of town. But of course, since this is a TV series, he doesn't do it. And by the end, he is back with Oz, hits one of Mama Moroni's thugs.
Mama Moroni!
At her spicy meatball with a car, with Oz's purple car, actually, Maserati, I believe, Pete.
Yes. Yeah, it's the Oserati.
Yes, the Oserati.
Yes, there we go. And escapes with them, but not Sophia, setting up another new dynamic for the next episode. So let's get into it, because a lot of big stuff went down here. Pete, you seem frazzled and upset already. Well, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, because first
you're upset
tell
about
me...
The car. You're upset about the car.
No, I'm just first, you're always like, hey, listen, let me recap, and then you ask. But this time, you're like poking the bear while you're recapping, being like, why aren't you saying anything? I'm trying to let you get through the thing.
Wait, Jesus. He can poke the bear. Just like at a zoo, you can poke the bear from staying behind the bars.
You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it.
I'm the Oz of this podcast. I'm poking bears. I'm poking you. Who knows what my plan is?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You're out of control. Follow Alex for half an hour. You're going to know everything about him. All of his secrets.
Well, I will say, to jump totally to the end of the episode, because I think this is where we ended last week's podcast, talking about how Oz is just wandering around Gotham City and you follow him for 3 seconds. You know what's going on. They pay that off in this episode.
That's 100%. Called prediction made real. We call
it's
that.
Not even, no, it's not prediction. You were complaining.
We predicted that.
No, that's not a prediction. That was a complaint. There's a difference between a prediction and a complaint.
Not the way I complain. All of my complaints are predictions for the future.
Oh, all right. Good clarification.
Wow, that's the best way to complain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Pete, what did you want to, what am I poking you about?
Nostradamus of complaining.
Yeah. I mean, first off, you know, I just think that this was, like you're saying, a long time coming. We've been wondering about Vic. And, you know, all he had to say is worst case scenario. Like, just as you get to fall in love with his family, boosh, you know what I mean? And then you're just
in love with his family.
And you're just hoping, like, dude, Vic, just walk away. I know it's television. I know. But I'm still hoping you're smart enough to you have the dream. The girl is there. She wants you to go to California. Why would you live in Gotham? Are you out of your mind? Like, get the heck out of Gotham. There's villains of the week. There's constantly going to be things being blown up. You can't live in Gotham, run for your life, and also follow the girl of your dreams, please.
Are you saying that living in Gotham leaves some sort of stain on you, you think?
I'm just saying, like, you know, if they're, you know, living in a world with Enigma and Joker and Penguin and, you know, Gotham is a pretty dangerous situation. You know, I don't know why you would purposely go, I'm going to live here where villains can practice what they're going to do before they, you know, enact some insane plan.
But where she's going to California, where? Coast City? Huh? A city where it is famously blown up by Green Lanterns.
Far away from that. There's plenty. She could live in a mountain somewhere. You don't know.
Well, that's the thing is also, how do you trust her when she's like, where am I going? California?
Trust her? She's the anchor of, like, human. She's the good thing in his life. The one left good thing of this life that he had. Like, this is his crush. Like, why? What do you mean?
Do you think she went to the bus station and said, one ticket to California, please?
No, she said, no, she has two tickets.
She's suspect.
No, no problem. We'll drop you at the border.
How dare you? She's been nothing but amazing to Vic.
Was she want to go to Death Valley?
Yeah, she's like, drop me in the San Andreas Fault.
Oh, my God.
That's where I want to go. Superman will save me.
That's ridiculous. She's the nicest part of the show, and you're like, I don't trust her.
Do you think she has some sort of land real estate scheme like Lex Luthor, the first Superman movie? I think that's what's
exactly
going on.
That's what they're calling back. Pete, what are you talking about? She's his true love. He met a nice blonde lady who helped him pick up his drugs.
Roxy?
On the dance floor.
You can't do that, man. You know that sometimes you have a Spider-Man kiss, but you got to listen to your heart on where you really go in life.
What?
You know
what I mean? I've never had a Spider-Man kiss work out. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, so you're saying the bag of drugs is in the nice Spider-Man kiss is what you're saying?
That's
so
the real
to talk
kiss.
About this, not to cut this off, but talk about this a little more seriously, because this is one of my big questions about the episode, is do we buy what Victor does at the end here? Because I'll tell you, I'm on the line, and I'm wondering whether that comes to the writing or whether that comes to the performance or what, because we get a lot about Victor this episode. We certainly get... I thought the first scene was great. The whole thing with the flood, it was very traumatizing, very upsetting, exactly as it should be. You know it's coming the entire time because we see the Bel Air.
You forget about it. You get,
Well, you see the Bel Air and flyers. She's the one who's running for mayor in the Batman. We know this takes place at this point 2 weeks after the end of the Batman. And so you know the flood's coming, but you're hoping beyond hope, like, please don't let this happen. Don't let this thing that we know is going to happen. And when it happens, it's awful. Absolutely.
Very upsetting. I found it to be, like, I was troubled by that to kick off this episode. But I will say this has been my favorite episode of the show. And I think the one that really – coming at this show from Vic's perspective more so, or at least bringing it more into balance with Oz's perspective, I think – helps the show so much. And we had talked about earlier sort of the Robin narrative, the sort of flip side of that, which is seems like what we're getting here mostly with the Vic Oz stuff, is really effective. And we see him, to your point, Alex, you don't buy that he's what? That he hits that guy on purpose or like that he makes that choice?
No, I just don't buy that he makes the turn. I mean, I think there's clues there, right? Like he's talking about he doesn't want to be with his family before the flood. He's like, no, just let me go. Let me go. Let me do this thing. He wants to be part of Gotham. He's talking to Graciela about, look at the city. Isn't it amazing? Look at it at night. You know, they're having that whole conversation about that. He loves Gotham. Like he clearly loves this place. Goes through this traumatic event, thinks about leaving. We get a couple of notes of like, when Oz pays him and gives him the $1,000, he says, I want 2,000. And to me, that was the first indicator in three episodes of anything that Oz has been saying about Victor in terms of him being like, you're a striver, you're a climber like me. We haven't gotten anything. That's the one little thing that we get there. But I don't know. I didn't feel like we got a lot more other than that moment with the cop, where the cop is holding his money and he's like, great. What money? And he pays him off. Great moment.
That was so smart. That was like such a baller move. I was like, yeah Vic, hell yeah. Way to put
I
was like, how are you going to get out of this? You're
I
so
do that at the grocery store all the time.
What?
Like, what money? And then they take, the teller takes the money.
Teller?
What?
You're buying teller. Food at a bank, right?
What is happening?
I eat money.
Are you at a grocery store? What?
The grocery store teller. Clerk? Is that what we're calling them?
Yeah.
You don't know?
I guess not.
Wow.
The teller, she tells me.
Well, when you're going to get food, do you go up to a window?
Are you saying, like, keep the change? What is your move?
I always say, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Okay, great.
I always play the entirety of that clip from Home Alone.
Yeah. Smart. You play it on a TV?
Yeah.
Or you, like,
as conversations. I don't actually, once I go outside the house, I only talk in dialogue from that film that Kevin McAllister uses. Angels with Dirty Faces, I believe it's called.
Nailed it. I was about to say it. Nice. I will say, we are non-functioning humans in society. That much is clear. But what I did want to say here is I have the complete opposite take about Vic. I think he's bought into the Gotham Penguin lifestyle from well before that end point.
I think
he drives to the bus station to watch Graciela leave, not to potentially join her. I think he'd already made the decision then.
Yeah, I mean, when he's rolling in the car, I think that was, but I think also the him staring off was a fun choice because it's nice to see it wasn't easy for him. It wasn't like, bye, I'm going to go be, you know, part of the Penguins team here and live a life of crime. Like, he really struggled with it. And the fact that, like, I was really hoping he was going to, at any second, just run out of the car and join her. And it was heartbreaking to see him make the wrong decision. And then when he's driving back and still just kind of looking out the window, thinking about it, it was a nice choice to see where it was kind of like, oh, God, oh, am I still doing the right thing? I don't know. And no. He's kind of looking to the city for his answer. And
he knows. He knows when – I think one of the reasons he had the sort of flashback the on the dance floor is he's like, this is it. This is my life now. And so he knows he's going to be re-encountering his already experienced trauma and future traumas over and over again. And the pressure to leave is that's what triggers him because he knows he's already in on this life. And I do think, like, the cop, all of those moves that you just described, Alex, where he tells Oz he wants $2,000. He tells the cop seamlessly. And then he hits that guy, probably killing him at the end of the episode without hesitation.
Maybe crippling him.
Probably. There's a little bit of hesitation when he thinks about, like, what should we do? What should I do?
I think he's more assessing the situation. I don't see consternation on his face about if he should do it. I see, how do I do this?
Yeah.
He shows up. It's also like he went to the bus station in the Maserati and doesn't, like, he's not there to go ever, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think it's not like he's going to, what was he going to do with the car? Like, pick
her up.
Well,
I think
it
would be such a baller move to leave a Maserati at a bus station. You know what I mean? To be like, yeah, I'm done with this life. I'm hopping on a bus. I mean,
that done with life. He just started this
life.
Or
take the Maserati and drive with her, right? Don't leave it at the bus station. That's at least a couple of bus tickets.
She bought the two tickets. You know what I mean? Like,
the Maserati's more money. You think you can get a Maserati for the price of two bus tickets?
California, that's a hefty ticket to Pete's point. True. It's got to be like $7 or $8.
And how much is a Maserati? $12 tops?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I buy my grocery stores, my groceries at the bank, so I don't know.
Fair enough. I do think there was an interesting parallel here in terms of what we're talking about with Vic and what's going on with Oz and Sophia, because she, as we mentioned earlier, is constantly pushing him back into the role of the driver. And versus the previous episode when Oz presented that position as sort of a striver position and was clearly lying about it, like literally everything else that he lies about, where he's like, yeah, it's this direct line of like, you can go from driver to me, Oswald Cobb, the Penguin of Gotham Underworld. And Sophia's like, no, you're my driver. You're not the guy who makes the deals. You're not the guy who comes in with these ideas, even though he is through pretty much throughout this entire process.
He ran the whole thing.
Pretty much. She keeps forcing him back into that place. So anyway, I don't necessarily have an observation there so much as I thought that was an interesting parallel.
What's weird is I also felt myself rooting for Oz to get along with Sophia and to kind of like get on her team, like stop trying to beat her or fight her. You guys have come to this place where you apologized. I was like, oh my God, this would be crazy. If you guys teamed up, you would be unstoppable. if only you could work together. And it was just like, oh, man, as soon as his boy showed up, Penguin was like, let's get the fuck out of here. And I was like, oh, don't leave Sophia.
Well, so I think it's interesting, weird, though.
I'm rooting for him, and I know he's, you know, a horrible villain.
I do. I mean, the show wants us to root for him, and they do work well together, especially in that first exchange with the triads, with the underboss. It's a great scene, and you see them like, hey, he's improvising, and she's like, oh, you want to? He names the drug there. Did they talk that over? And he's just dropping Bliss. That's fucked up. You know, they should at least focus group that.
Right. I mean, she's doing a great
thing.
Yes. She's doing a great job of yes-anding his ideas, though. I mean, they were really riffing together. It was impressive.
Mm-hmm. When he's like, I'm going to get the man who just threatened her life to sign off on this drug deal. I was like, and she just gives him a little like, touche.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see where that goes. How are we going to pull that off?
But of course, she knows how reckless he is. He already screwed her over, as we have them deal with in that conversation later in the episode. He's wildly dangerous and untrustworthy. He lives his life at a Riverdale-style level of recklessness.
Yeah,
he does. He does whatever the fuck he wants every minute.
He'll fly off the handle. It's, you know, I thought he was going to kill him with the phone, but
at the beginning of the episode, first off, choosing the phone as your murder weapon, I was like, how does that work? At least,
dude, those old razors. Come on, man. You could have maybe, you know,
not a razor. But it wasn't that. It was like an iPhone or an Android or something.
I used to shave with a razor every morning and I look like shit.
I think if razor I had phone. One note for the show, he should have specified what type of phone it was when he was shoving it out. Like, this is an iOS operating system. Yeah.
Plug it. Real quick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you sound like you work for a cell phone company.
Yeah, what's up, man? What's up, Verizon?
The recklessness of Penguin of Oz at the beginning of the episode with Vic and Sophia, like, he's like, hey, I gotta go take a call from the mortal enemy of the person at the door. Vic, you can barely not
talk.
You can barely lie. Yeah. Why don't you talk to her and don't say anything about anything? I was like, does he trust Vic or is he absolutely reckless?
He's absolutely reckless. And I think what the show keeps driving home is he is not the protagonist of the show. He is the antagonist of the show. He just happens to be the main character, and he's an entirely unreliable antagonist, which I don't think we've ever seen on TV. We were talking a little bit about Breaking Bad last week, and certainly Walter White gets there. He's a bad guy, and it's very clear that he's a bad guy, but we're in his head, and like, we understand where he's coming from because we know where he started. With Oz, at this point, every single time he says, don't worry, I have a plan, my reaction is, you 100% do not have a plan. You have no steps beyond where we are now. You're improvising, like we're talking about literally everything that's going on. And even the conversation at the end that is so heartfelt with Sophia, where she says to him something like, where do we go from here? How could I trust you? And he's like, I don't know, at which point Mama Moroni pulls in. He betrays her in a drop of a hat. And Vic is like, should we get Sophia? And he's like, no, drive down, drive. And his last line is, as he's cackling and smiling, he's like, we're in it now, Vic, we're in it now. He loves it.
Yeah, I knew
like the number one thing that he loves is causing the chaos, because he knows that's the way that he's going to end up on top. And it makes it impossible to believe anything that he is saying at any point.
He's a chaos junkie, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he has a death wish in a lot of ways, because he's so close. When Mama Moroni pulls up, I was like, yeah, of course you're done, dude. And like, it wasn't like, hey, you did, what's your deal? What are you doing? They didn't need to question him. They were going to execute him in that moment. Yeah. And the fact that Vic was there is the only thing that saved his life. I'm going to back what I said last episode and say Oz and this show is a combination of Sopranos, Mad Men, and Breaking Bad. And especially the Mad Men, I know, feels like the weird one, but the recklessness of Don Draper in over the course of that show, where he would just push anything to just keep having his affairs, keeping his money going, like he would just keep pushing it. That's what Oz is doing in these episodes. It's different than Walter White. It's that sort of.
But it's weird because it's also a time period thing that this doesn't do. So, you know, I mean, you lose me.
I'm just talking about the character.
Yeah, and I understand you're throwing out three AMC shows there, but I think it's a lot closer to like Halt and Catch Fire, Rubicon and Low Winter Sun is Hell what yeah. I would say.
Wow. Alex, great call.
Name on one more AMC show.
Walking Dead. It's Come a lot on. Like Walking Dead.
No, I mean,
sorry, Fear of the Walking Dead. It's closer to Fear of the Walking Dead.
Wow, oh good. My God. Way to, you're no like describing the about. Difference between two Cabernet Francs over here.
You get your wine in a bank as well?
Yeah. Francs. I get Francs. Okay. The Francs from Cabernet, please.
Oh, man.
You can smell what the
are
different
we talking
money.
About here?
I have no idea. I've lost the thread.
Yes.
I do think it's a great show. This episode was a hell of a roller coaster, though, emotionally, because I was like, after this episode, I'm like, am I rooting for Sophia now? Like, I don't know, you know, because now I feel bad for Sophia.
Sophia, I thought was very interesting this episode. Her mistake, I would say, is continually dismissing Oz and pushing him back into the driver position. Like, if she had kept them even, that's also a mistake on a certain level because he's going to betray her no matter what. But demeaning and dismissing him, that's the theme of this episode, is like people, and maybe the entire show, is the people that go under the radar that you do dismiss, they're going to turn their weaknesses into some sort of superpower. Not like
very Ted Lasso.
Sure. Yeah, we could.
Now who's being weird?
Mm-hmm. A little bit more like Shrinking, but sure, whichever you want to throw out there. if we're jumping over to Apple TV
wow.
Plus, sure.
I mean, streaming horses, service guy.
Get some mixture of slow horses in there as well. Come on, dude.
Yeah, come on.
All TV is all TV. Well, I do think the core of the show and the core of Oz is he will betray anyone for anything at any time. Mm-hmm. Like Sophia
and why would
is,
Vic throw away his life for that? You know what I mean? That's what I'm struggling with.
Well, he believes there's a difference there. And I'm curious if the show, the story the show wants to tell, it seems like, is Vic and Oz are the same. We got so many match cuts in this episode of their faces. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the season, Oz is going to betray Vic.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the opposite.
Yeah,
maybe it's Vic's the one he won't betray and their partnership is real or there is a line that he has. Because I'll tell you what, it's hard to make a show where your main character just continues to do the same thing over and over again. We need to find a turning point. And we had talked about that before. The only other thing, not to get too predictive right now, or complainy as I referred to it earlier, is if Vic betrays Oz, if he learns his lessons too well over the course of this series,
but
which I'm starting to think it's that, based on how ice cold my understanding of Vic in this episode was.
But after this episode, what I wanted to have happen is Vic go after Nygma for killing his family in that flood and get vengeance that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the first thing you said is the most likely if we're talking about predictions. And this is based solely on the fact that we know Penguin is going to be in the Batman Part 2. He's going to be there. We know that this was initially what they were conceiving as the beginning of the movie. So getting Penguin to a place where he's eliminated absolutely everything in his life, maybe literally in terms of killing Vic, maybe Sophia is dead by the end of this, maybe the whole Falcone and Maroni crime families are gone, and Oswald and the Penguin's empire is the only thing left. That to me makes a lot more sense going into the Batman Part 2 than Vic betrays Penguin and he's in a lower position by the end of this, because I think this is all about putting him at the top.
Interesting. I would say, though, don't you want to see him rise up in the movie a little bit? Because aren't they maybe going to be building this movie that you don't have to have watched Penguin? So we want him a little bit on the same plane as he was in the first Batman?
Maybe. Or maybe you want to watch Batman punch him through a table. One of the two.
That only takes like 60 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
And short movie. The movies are a little longer than that.
Are they? I don't know.
One question I have that they brought up in this episode, do you think she's the hangman? Because she came out of nowhere and was like, I'm not the hangman. And Vic calls her the hangman. Mm-hmm. So what are your guys' thoughts on?
I watched that again because that line hit when she was like, and I'm not the hangman. And I was like, wait a second, is she saying that
Who's
she's not the hangman? But no, she, after going back and watching it again, she's doing a, I don't remember what Penguin says exactly, but he says something to her about, like, come on, I'm not that guy anymore. And she's like, and I'm not the hangman. So it's a... She was the hangman. She's implying, yes, you are still whatever you are. Prove it to me differently. I agree. I totally clocked that and got confused as well. But
because there's now a bagman and a hangman in this episode.
Whoa. Yeah. She is the hangman. There's more of a story to tell there, obviously, that they keep teasing and jumping around. I also think the scene with Johnny Vitti, where he tells her to go to Italy, was very interesting and gives her 2 days. Very curious to see where that's going to end up, given the events of this episode.
The crazier...
All I was going to say was they go to Italy in Catwoman When in Rome, and I believe a little bit of Dark Victory. So I'm guessing that even with everything that's happened, we are going to get like a Godfather Part 2 trip to Italy for a little bit, but we'll see.
Well, the crazy part is it was the same bus, you know, Vic's girlfriend and Sophia would have been on the same bus, you know.
Yeah, so it's a long bus ride to Italy, I will say.
It would have been magical really to get those two together.
You can see the fish right out the window.
Come on.
Yeah. It's like the Nautilus ride at Disney World.
Yeah. What I was going to say is do you feel like Johnny Vitti is going to change up his cell phone plan given everything that happened in this episode?
I will say not him, but Oz has lied to him walking into the hotel room where he's having sex with Falcone's wife, him saying, how's the fucking going, Johnny?
all the lines of that scene were very funny. When Sophia's like, don't forget your panties. I was like, wow, the spicy language.
Yeah. Overall, I know we've said this before, but the show is funny. Like, very consistently throughout every episode, there's at least a couple of very good jokes in there, which is really surprising. It doesn't necessarily defray the tension, but it's welcome. In the middle of everything that's going on.
The fact that they showed Penguin being sad at the fact that Vic was gone at the bar was kind of like, aw. And then when he saw Vic and was so excited, obviously, for saving his life, but the fact that they were together again, he was so happy. It was, it's really emotionally pulling us in weird directions for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like you are. Now, Pete, it feels like if Vic were to leave and you were next in line to be Oz's driver, you take the job?
No. I'm going to go catch a bus to my true
love. With Vic and Graciela? No. You don't have a true love in this scenario.
Well, you're next in line. Happening.
You're not Vic. You want to catch it. You want to be in a throuple with Vic and Graciela.
No, I'm saying if he's not going to be on that bus with her, I'm going to be on that bus to be like, hey, sorry about what happened, but hi, I'm Pete. How you doing? You know what I mean?
What? That's fun. It's worse. That's fucked up.
Wait, sorry. I zoned out for a second. You're going to try to get together with Vic's ex-girlfriend? Is that what's happening?
No, that's not what I want.
In this situation, are you the bus driver in Gotham, Pete? Just try to check in here. Where you fit into the narrative?
I'm just saying this, you know. He made a mistake by leaving her at the bus stop. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see him drive away.
I am curious.
I want the Pete cut where he's standing in line.
All I was going to talk about was sort of where we leave the Bob families in this episode, because I think we're in a really interesting place here, only 3 out of 8 episodes in, where my take on it, at least, is the Falcones are falling apart at this point. Like, they're clearly the dominant crime family, but Sophia and Oz are kind of running around with impunity. Johnny Vitti is in a very compromised place. They still have the power, but it feels like everybody's nipping at their heels. Then you got the Baronis with Baba Baroni again running around, and they're really, you know, sort of pushing their power quite a bit, despite the fact that the boss, Clancy Brown, is in prison. I'm forgetting his exact character name.
Sal
Maroni, yes. And then you got the Triads you're throwing in the mix as well, which they sort of seem to be like literally sitting back most of the episode, but I don't think that's the last we see to them. We get Francois Chow, who's great as the leaders of the Triad.
Yeah.
We only get a little bit of him. So I feel like that's going to throw things in the mix in terms of leading us to a total gang war in Gotham City.
Well, it is wild how the story is as hectic and crazy as Oz's choice. Like the fact that it's now 4 different warring gangs, if you include the Maronis, the Triads, the Falcones, on the VD side, and then Oz and Sophia in their own bend, it's like, this is a disaster waiting to happen. And it's only, we're clearly going in that direction. There's no way they're going to stop this freight train, especially since Vic just wrecked that whole situation. And the Maronis are going to have Sophia hostage, presumably.
Well, that's what my question is. Do you think now Sophia's hostage, or maybe those two talk and are like, hey, listen, let's team up and take out this Penguin guy. I'm sick of him too. You know what I mean?
No, my prediction for next episode is a Penguin and Vic raid to save Sophia from Maroni, the Maronis.
Oh,
we'll see.
But real quick, I want to talk about something else. The sequence it goes from Sophia trying to sell the triads on the drug into Vic having his trauma flashback and then back into her, I thought was really masterfully done. She's talking, she's using sort of her psychological treatment that she's had. Remember, we had that scene with the red light. We're definitely going to come back to that. It was
Bliss is definitely red strange. As well.
Mm-hmm. Bliss is red. Red. Red's important. People are in red sauce.
Catch up.
Mm-hmm.
What
great.
Are we playing a
red,
grocery
red
store?
Wine? UB40? Sliver?
Oh, yes.
Monitors.
What's happening?
But what I was going to say is that she's using the psychology knowledge she learned by having been in Arkham to make the sale at the same time Vic is sort of showing rather than telling that he is one of these traumatized Gothamites that the Bliss is going to work wonders on to like get them addicted and whatnot. And it works. I thought that was just a really well done combining all the plots together while pushing the story forward with the characters.
Well, there's, just to put a little bow on that, I thought there was a very nice meta wig at the end there in that conversation between Oz and Sophia outside of the parking lot where he's like, hey, they bought it, we're a big hit. And she says, trauma sells, which is, of course, talking about what she said to the triads, but it's also literally saying to the audience, like, that's what you want to see, right? Like, you want to see Vic go through his trauma. You want to know about my trauma. That's what you're enjoying. That's what you want to see in this show. So I thought that was kind of neat and outside of the show and breaking the fourth wall. There was something else. Oh, a couple of things that I wrote down. We get these characters at the beginning, a bunch of friends of Vic's beyond Graciella. One of them is named Squid.
So, and we dwell on him a bit.
Yeah. So I think we're going to come back to Squid. I think now that Vic is staying in Gotham, we're going to see more of that and whatever their beef is between each other. So I wanted to talk about this a little bit just because I did some research here. So first of all, we meet Dr. Trey Bloom, who's the guy who is the chemist behind Bliss. There is a Batman villain named Mr. Bloom.
From Scott Snyder's.
Scott Snyder's. Greg Capullo's run. Totally different character. That's like a crazy Slenderman guy who gives seeds to people to make them into gigantic super heroic monsters before they burn out. But I do think they took the name from that, particularly because he was first seen trying to sell those seeds to the Penguin in the comics. So it's just kind of picking up that name and running with it. As a side note, I forgot to write down the actor who plays Trey Bloom, but the wild thing I will throw out about him, his main career since 1993 to this day, he has been a puppeteer on Sesame Street.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. I don't know. I thought that was a neat
fun. Fact.
There you go.
So kids can watch Penguin, you're saying?
Absolutely.
I was wondering if Squid was a nod to any. I was like, I don't know any.
Batman it's the Squid and the Whale. It's the new Obama.
Yeah. Oh, that's what the nod is.
Mm-hmm. That's a nod.
And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is Bliss, the drug, also has nothing to do with the drug from DC Comics, but there's two versions of the drug Bliss that were both in Titans comics, I think.
There was that comic we read called Bliss, wasn't it?
Yes, but that wasn't a DC comic. That was totally unrelated.
Right, it was about a drug.
It was called a drug.
Oh, I had a friend in high school named Sam Bliss.
Oh, yeah. No, it's about it. It's a reference to him.
Another nod.
Anyway, it is a name from DC Comics, even though it doesn't have anything to do that. In the comics, it's made from the hormone secretion of pre-adolescent adults. So, totally different thing.
What did you say out loud?
That's what it was. I didn't write the comic book. That's what it was from.
Why would you bring up that fact or know that fact?
I did the research on it. I looked into it because I was curious.
You did the research?
I did the research.
He's our Dr. Bloom.
Bliss to develop Bliss. My God. The last thing I would say is I don't know a lot about mushrooms because I went too deep of a dive into this. I'll just mention this here. So the mushrooms they're using, the bleeding tooth fungi, those are real. Those exist. Yeah. But the stuff that's coming out of there is just your general, like, you know, when you see like little droplets on leaves that aren't necessarily Mountain Dew.
See,
everything that I was saying there.
They're not necessarily Mountain Dew.
It's not necessarily where Mountain Dew comes from, but
definitely
but
taste all pledge, the leaves. Like,
It's doing the Dew. Yeah. Anyway, it's basically like glucose. It's like plant sweat, and it's the same thing here, but because it's coming through those mushrooms, it turns out to be red. The only use of it, there's actually two uses of it. One, you could use it as dye for textiles. The other thing is it's an anticoagulant, and that's it. So, like, if somebody is on dialysis, it actually helps. Or if, somebody having a heart attack, it helps. But there's no psychedelic properties to those mushrooms whatsoever. Apparently, they taste awful. You don't want to eat them, but they're not poisonous, and they don't do anything. So, there you go.
Nice. And just on especially intense rainstorms, you can find a Mountain Dew Code Red treat. It's really just like, just drink it straight down. That's great research.
When the leaves are bleeding, that's when you get Code Red.
Autumn is Code Red season.
Yeah.
The couple things I wanted to say, how about Oz's Miami Vice look for after the, when they're making
the
deal?
White on white? Come on, man.
It's crushing it. How do you keep that thing clean? You know, especially when you're selling red
dots. I was weirded out by when he was just walking around in a turtleneck and a jacket. Yeah. And I was like, casual penguin. Here we go. Hello.
Another casual. But penguins are famously formal. They're natural tuxedos. Mm-hmm. The couple great needle drops in this episode. I love the song when Vic goes to watch Graciela leave. I thought that was cool. And then the credit song was great.
Oh, yeah.
Walking with the Devil. And then just another stray observation. It's funny to me that Oz is a father figure to Vic, but also like a out-of-control younger brother at the same time. And Vic sort of like trying to reconcile both of them the whole time.
One other thing we didn't really talk about here and is a major runner throughout the episode is Vic's stutter and how that plays out when he's in a comfortable situation at the beginning with his friends, when he's uncomfortable talking to Sophia or Oz. There's the big scene in the middle when they're out to lunch or whatever is going on there before they
lunch.
Yeah.
Steak. It's like a meal in the middle of the day.
Not familiar. Alex.
It's like when you go into the woods.
I start off
drink.
The day hunting for Mountain Dew in the mountains, as one does. And then that's what I have to eat for the day. That's pretty much it.
I like the word hunting used there. Like with a shotgun, Elmer Fudd style.
He talks back to the waiter and is like, well, let him finish. And they have the whole conversation there. Again, I think that's really tying into the whole, like, taking your weakness, turning into a superpower thing. But I thought that was very interesting, particularly given I think you had complained, I believe, Justin, last episode about his stutter and how it might play out. You had a bunch of complaints that might play out throughout the season.
I think those complaints are only going to come even more true.
You're still complaining about them. Interesting.
Yes.
I do want to talk about the fact
this is confusing for our listeners. Go ahead, Pete.
Yes.
When Oz Cobb is kind of talking to him and talking about how he's got to be a hustler, I mean, he's also hustling him. And the fact that he knows to kind of like stick up for Vic in front of the waiter, like it's a great kind of use of the manipulation because he knows what that's like as someone who's, you know, kind of limping around and, you know, he kind of knows that anger and stuff that kind of Vic has around that kind of stuff.
Do you think he's being real with Vic? Like, I think he's still lying. He's still lying in a bunch of stories and he's obfuscating information and whatnot.
But there is a truth to what he's saying.
I think so. Like, I think those are the moments where he's probably most real. Like, even in the bathroom, there's a bit of, you know, jockeying, pulling up your belt and being like, oh, yeah, when he's putting the gun to his head and telling him, like, why don't you just go? Why don't you just go?
Oh, God,
he doesn't have a move there. Like, that isn't Penguin being like, I'm trying to manipulate Vic into something so much as that's what he honestly feels in those moments.
I think, but that was about his feelings. Mm-hmm. He was like, I thought we were working together and you're scared of me. He doesn't want
that. Kind of heartbroken.
For his own ends. So I think he was actually legitimately upset in that moment. Which that's when they did the match cut between Vic and Oz, and I thought that was really effective. Because and Oz goes and like guzzles a bunch of bourbon or something at the bar because he's so upset. So that felt real to me.
Yeah. Any other notes for the episode before we start to wrap up here? Any other thoughts?
Just a really impressive acting all around.
Agreed. Great Ed.
All right, as we end up here, let's talk about who was our biggest son of a gun of the episode. I'm kidding. We don't do that on this show. If you'd like to support us and all the shows we do, I guess we could do it. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Penguin, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice. To subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad, stay off that bliss. You can't direct like that.
Direct happy dad. Sons of a gun are bullets, right?
Mm-hmm. Babies, babies, babies.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.